I just opened it up, and it just so happened as I turned it, it went to 163. But I'm glad there is a closer walk with Him. He said if we'll walk in the light, as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You can have fellowship with God, just got to go where He is. Won't have too much fellowship with Him walking in darkness. But if you'll come out of that darkness into the light, boy, it's good to have fellowship with the Lord.
163.
I am weak, but Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as Thou walk. Let me walk close to Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares, none but Thee, dear Lord, none but Thee, just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea, daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Life is o'er. Time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er to my home on that bright golden shore. Just a closer walk with me.
Amen.
Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my sun sets in the west, Lord, may I have done my best. May I find sweet peace and rest in that home, happy home of the blessed. Closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I thank the Lord for them two songs that were picked out and sung. And how much that's needed today. And this day of calamity and chaos, this day seems like hearts are calloused. Peter said, Lord, where could we go?
Yes.
But to thee, thou hast the words of eternal life. I'm glad I know where to go, Carolyn. I'm glad I know who to run to. My pastor last night, as we met for prayer last night, he read for devotion in the book of Psalms. I think it's Psalm 122. It said, I'll look to the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And I'm glad, praise God, there's somewhere we can look for help. Amen. And I'm glad I know where my help comes from. Amen. A lot of people, I guess, they look for help. And sometimes it don't come, but sometimes when it does come, it ain't the help they need. Amen. And I'm glad I know where the help I need is. All right. Glory.
Yeah.
All right. Brother Gilbert, they said you might be inclined to sing special this morning. You want to come sing, brother? Well, you come right on, brother. You're the one going to sing first. Hallelujah. Good to have Brother Gilbert here this morning. I love him, my brother. What a blessing it is to have him with us this morning. First time I met him. Was at the bedside, at the bedside of his wife, and we were blessed to come into his house under the shelter of his roof, just to feel the presence of God. Had prayer there, and the Lord determined, decided to bring her on home, and we'll follow soon. We'll let Brother Gilbert sing. Good to have him here this morning.
I got a song here. It's just what he talked about when he keeps on his school, praying. And this is, I just steal away and pray.
Yeah.
And I thought we had a guitar player over here.
We ain't got one this morning, brother. I don't know if Margaret can play it on the piano, but that's all we got, Sister Margaret.
I just steal away.
Yeah,
I just steal away. And I ask the blessed Lord to lead the way. I just steal away. I just steal away. I just steal away somewhere and pray. Every time I do a deed I shouldn't do. Every time I say a word I should not say. Just let me tell you what to do. It will bring the blessing to you. If you'll steal away somewhere and pray.
Heart,
I just steal away, steal away. And I ask the blessed Lord to lead the way.
Yeah.
I just steal away, yeah. I just steal away. I just steal away somewhere and pray.
Yeah.
I know my Lord will answer all my prayers.
Yes,
if I'll ask Him for the blessed every day. But when I wander out in sin, got no one for a friend, I just steal away somewhere and pray.
Woo!
I just steal away,
yeah,
I just steal away, and I ask the blessed Lord to lead the way.
Yeah,
I just steal away, I just steal away. I just steal away somewhere and pray.
Amen. God bless you right here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. He gave us a place we can steal away and pray.
There's nothing in His arms. I'm not afraid.
Amen, brother.
When I close my eyes in this, fold my hands across my breast, sang for me a pretty song while I take my journey home.
Amen.
Not afraid to bid this world goodbye.
Yes,
not afraid.
Woo!
To close my eyes and die. For this courage, Lord, I'll pray. In His arms.
Amen.
I'm not afraid.
What about that?
When I cross this silent sea, and that home light wait for me, I'll feel no pain, I'll feel no harm.
What?
Safe, secure, in Jesus' arms. Not afraid to bid this world goodbye.
What?
Not afraid to close my eyes and die. For this curse. courage, Lord, I pray. In His arms I'm not afraid.
Amen.
Not afraid to bid this world goodbye. And I'm going, when I cross that silent sea, in that home right wait for me, I'll feel no harm, I'll feel no pain. If the Lord Jesus saying, not afraid to bid this world goodbye, not afraid to close my eyes and die, for this courage, Lord, I'm praying. In His arms I'm not afraid. In His arms I'm not afraid.
Find out what you mean, Lord. Bless charity, Lord. I pray. Bless her mother. Bless her family. Lord, I pray, under Your sheltering wings, Lord, they will be all right and not suffer any hurt or any harm. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Appreciate Charity doing what we all ought to do, just obeying the Lord. She's up here weeping on the altar. I'd rather see that than see anything. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Just need to do more of it. It didn't take her long to get here. Did you see that? She run up there, fell down that altar. Thank you, Sister Margaret, for kneeling with this young lady. I'll tell you what, buddy, God's here this morning. He's here like I asked Him last night in an intimate way. If you can't feel the presence of God here this morning, you need to check your temperature. He's here this morning. Matter of fact, He's here right now. If there's something you need to say, something you need to do, I would ask you right now to be obedient to that. The Bible said obedience is better than sacrifice. Be more ready to obey the Lord at His beckoning. If God's dealing with you about something, maybe you need to do that this morning. If not, we'll give Charity here just a few minutes. We'll be preaching here this morning. I started preaching last Sunday on the miraculous birth of Jesus. Against all odds, a virgin conceived and bore a son. And the King, the humble King, made His entrance into this world. And we'll be preaching today on what we know about His youth. And that'll be from the age of 2 years up to 12 years. And it's called in the Bible the silent years. And yet there's still some glimpses in the Bible that we can look and see the young Jesus as He's growing up. We've got young people here this morning. They've not grown yet. They're growing up. And I believe this message be beneficial to them. I remember when I growed up, I think I made every mistake that one could make. And how I wish I had been in church like them at this young, tender age and gave the Lord the reins and told Him to lead in my life and to help me to make right decisions and to do right and to choose the good way. I thank the Lord for young people.
Have everybody come up and pray so she can see that the church is behind her.
Would all that would be willing to gather up here with us, pray with Charity this morning. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the obedience, Lord, of a tender heart. Charity this morning, Lord, we don't need to know, Lord, what she's weeping about. We know You know about it. We know, Lord, there's nothing hid from You. Lord, we just pray this morning, Father, You would honor her faith, honor her prayer, honor her petition. Lord, I pray as only You can. Lord, You could grant it. Lord, I pray. Lord, we thank You, Father, for Charity. Lord, we thank You, Father, for the good example, Lord, at her age. She sits this morning for other young people to show them how to come to the altar and talk to God, how to come and pray and pour your heart up to God and find in Him a sweet relief. Find in Him consolation and strength. Find in Him, Lord, the strength, Lord, to go on when things are hard. And I pray for her, Father. I thank You, Lord, for her. But I pray, Lord, dear Father, Lord, You would grant her petition, grant her request, and may You be honored to do so. May You receive glory and honor, Lord, through her, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, well, when I think of all the people that could and should have come to God and didn't, and for that reason suffered, went through sore trials when it didn't have to be that way. I'm so encouraged when I see one young girl come running up here weeping on the altar. And I tell you what, that's certainly always welcomed, always in season. There's nothing that we need to do except pray with her. She's got just as much right as anybody in this church to come pray to God. Just as much access to the throne of grace as you and I. And I thank God for Charity. If you don't learn nothing else this morning, learn how simple she showed you. How easy she showed you it is just to get up and come to God. Amen. I thank the Lord for what I've seen and felt already this morning. Okay, if nobody's got anything on your heart, open your Bibles, please, this morning. And I'm not in no hurry. I know the clock back there is on the wall. I know the hands are moving and clocks are ticking. But I'll tell you right now, if there's something this morning that God's put on your heart, I ain't got no problem at all yielding to that. Proverbs chapter number 2, we'll read one verse there. Proverbs chapter number 2, which will be our text verse. We'll be reading from many places in the Bible. And you might follow along with us if you want to. If nothing else, just listen real good. And I promise you this morning, you'll hear something this morning that will probably go home with you, and you'll probably give it thought throughout this week, and the Lord will help you to come to the right conclusion. In Hebrews chapter number 2, verse number 9, our text verse, but we see Jesus. That's a problem today. We have eyes, but we see not. We have ears, but we hear not. We have hearts, but we believe not. But this Bible's here to help us. And through this Bible, it says, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. We want to stop right there. I'll be reading other places in the Bible, but we want to preach this morning on a closer look at Jesus, His youth. Father, we thank You for the inspired, infallible, incorruptible Word of God, that we would do well to take heed as unto a light that shines in darkness. Lord, the darkness, Father, has covered our land. Our country, our leaders have made poor choices. Lord, it's caused darkness to prevail. But Father, I thank You, Lord, that there are still a few that recognize the need for the light of the Word of God. The psalmist said, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And Lord, we thank You, Father, this morning. Already there are others on the altar. If someone would, they could join them. But Father, we pray this morning for the sweet Holy Spirit to minister in our midst, to do the mighty works of God, the manifestation of You, Lord, we pray. That all may marvel and take note that when we brag on God's Son, that Lord, You honor that. You love Your Son. And You said to go preach Jesus. Jesus said, when I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto Me. Lord, we want to lift You up. We want You to be exalted. We want You to be extolled and praised. We want You, Lord, to have liberty here this morning to minister to the needs that are here this morning. I pray for Holden that's on the altar this morning with Charity. And Lord, I don't know necessarily everything that's going on, but Lord, You know all things. You know already what You're doing. You know already what's needed to be done. And I pray these hearts, Lord, would yield and submit to You. And Lord, may You, I pray, take Your proper place upon the throne of the heart this morning. May You manifest Yourself in this service. Lord, 'twill all will marvel and know
that your presence has been mightily here this morning. In Jesus' blessed name we ask it. Amen. Holding, you all right, buddy? All right, you all right, Charity? You okay, sweetie? All right. We ain't got no problem at all with people on the altar. I welcome that through the whole service. I actually saw my pastor right in the middle of preaching stop and go down to the altar and stayed there a long time. Wept for quite a while. I didn't know what to do. Nobody knew. We left him on the altar. Finally, he got up, wiped away the tears, come right back up and went to preaching. But when God gets in a service, I just want to, for lack of better words, try to stay out of the way. Try not to mess up what God's doing. But I want you to know, the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And there's liberty here this morning. If you've got a need, you don't have to wait for invitation. You don't have to wait for anything. I'll tell you right now, buddy, God's here this morning. The Bible talked about in Isaiah chapter 7. And I read part of it last week. Said, therefore, the Lord Himself, verse 14 of Isaiah chapter 7, shall give you a sign, behold, a virgin shall conceive. If you've got the right Bible, it'll say, behold, a virgin. Now, if you don't have the right Bible, it'll say, behold, a young maiden shall conceive. And let me say this, that young maidens have babies all the time. That's not a miracle. But when a babe has a baby, a virgin, when a virgin has a baby, that's a miracle. Then God here, already consenting to this miracle, said there will come a day, the Lord will give a sign, a virgin will conceive and bear a son and call His name Emmanuel, which means God with us. If you've got the right Bible, it'll give you that interpretation. And this great sign is the virgin's son, Jesus, Emmanuel. Now, I only read that one verse, but I want to read the next two verses this morning before we preach. Verse 15 says, butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land shall be forsaken of both of her kings. Now, when I was growing up, I used to go down to my grandmother and my grandfather's house. My grandfather loved the Lord. And I'll tell you one thing, I sat at his table, Brother Gilbert. I was about Eli's age. I remember my grandfather taking honey. And butter. And he took a fork and he whipped that up pretty good. He took some of them cathead biscuits that my grandmother, Mama Mae, made. Man, just about anything you put on them was good. He'd whack that thing in half and he'd slop it down real good, that butter and that honey, and I laid it away and looked for another, Brother Gilbert. Man, I'm telling you what the Bible talks about, that's something good to eat.
That's good.
It talks about refusing that evil. I don't know if that's talking about them fast and happy meals, fast food, greasy stuff. I don't know. I don't know if that's talking about eating right or not. But I do know one thing, as a young boy, I know what Jesus did eat. He ate butter and honey. Two things here, that's something that's good for you. The Bible says many times, eat honey, my son, for it's good for you. But also it shows his humility, the poverty of the family that he was born in. They didn't have a lot, but they had things that were, enough. And the butter and the honey not only was good for him, but that's what he ate. And that's significant. That's why I read that, so you'll know what Jesus ate as a young boy. Sky, he ate butter and honey mixed together. You ever ate any butter and honey mixed together? All right. What about you, Ryan? All right. Praise the Lord. These kids have been eating better than I thought. What about you, Eli? Well, you need to get you some of that butter and honey so you know what you're missing out on. I still remember them big cathead biscuits. They steaming hot. Man, you put that butter and honey on there. I don't know if you could compare that with heaven or not, but it was like heaven at the moment. Man, I'll tell you what, we know now the young Jesus, he eat butter and honey, and he done that before he knew to refuse the evil. evil and to choose the good. Now, all our young people here this morning, I didn't have no young people last Sunday. You'll make a lot of choices in life. You need to make good choices. You need to refuse the evil. The Bible said, don't give no place to the devil. The old song said, if you give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. Are you doctoring this morning, Melissa? Well, I'll tell you right now, I've got the greatest confidence in you. I don't know what she's working on, but she's working on charity here. And, you know, a lot of choices young people have made. Holden, you've probably made a lot of choices. Have you ever made any you wished you hadn't made, wished you chose differently? I made a bunch of them. I made a lot of choices that was to my detriment. One of the choices I made as a young boy, I opened my refrigerator at the house and Daddy had some beer in there. And I snuck one of them out and drunk it and gagged and all that right there. That one drink started a bunch of more and I ended up having a problem with drinking. But I'll tell you this, our homes ought to be a better environment for young people that shouldn't have been in there. I'm not blaming my dad for having it in there. I mean, it was his house. I was his son. That was his refrigerator. I knew that was his beer, but I went ahead and got one anyway, Brother Bobby. And I'll tell you what, I snuck out back there and I felt kind of dirty by what I done. And it didn't make me no better by what I done. But I was making some poor choices and it wasn't too long. I was hanging around some friends and they was talking a little bit kind of different talk than what I was brought up to talk and they were saying some words. Then I'll tell you what, I wasn't used to saying it. It rubbed off on me. I remember getting my mouth washed out with soap. And to this day, I still taste soap when I think words like that. But I'll tell you right now, buddy, I was corrupted. The Bible says evil communication corrupts good manners. I've been raised up, Sister Carolyn, to say yes, ma'am, and no, sir, and yes, mom, and yes, dad. But I'll tell you right now, buddy, there'll be some choices that young people will make, and they need to choose the good and not the evil. There'll be a lot of persuasion, a lot of temptation. A lot of people will tell you, young people, try this, you'll like it. Yeah, they want you to try it. Because if they can get you hooked on, they can make some money off of you. They can make a fool out of you. Now if they made a fool out of you, you'll say, I wish I'd made a better choice. But in this text right here, the young Jesus, he's born to a virgin. His father, supposedly his father, which is really just his half-father, because his father was David. I'll get to that here in a minute. His father was David. God took the seed of David and fulfilled a promise that He made to David that of his seed there would always be a king to sit up on the throne of David to rule and reign. And that wasn't possible through man. Things are impossible. Men are possible, God. So God took the seed of David, put it in the virgin. Her name was Mary. She brought forth a son, which was the seed of David. And I'll read some more scripture about that in a minute. But this young boy, as he was growing, he eat butter and honey. Hallelujah. We'll take our text now to Luke chapter number 2. Got a lot of scripture to share with you. I'm sorry, I can't figure out no way around it. This is scattered all through your Bible, but Luke chapter number 2. We'll read two verses and go straight on to Matthew, but I want to read these two verses. We stopped our preaching last week at verse 38 about Anna testifying about Jesus and about Simeon that said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He took up Jesus and he blessed him and he blessed Joseph and Mary. And he said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. And he's talking about Jesus. But now down in verse number 39, they brought Jesus up to be circumcised, to be dedicated to the Lord. And as they brought him, two gave witness of who he was. One of them was Anna, a prophetess, and the other was Simeon, and he'd been told he wouldn't die before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. Verse 39, after they perform all these things, according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, immediately we want to turn, without reading any further, to Matthew chapter number 2. Again, we're talking about the young child Jesus. And all through this Bible, it's wrote about Him. Jesus here, Matthew chapter 2, He's been born, and note, He was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. And as He was born, behold, it says, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him. Now, Balaam prophesied about the birth of Jesus, and that star he mentioned in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, Balaam, that corrupt prophet, said, I shall see Him, talking about Jesus, but not now. He said, I'll see Him, but not now. I shall behold Him, but not now. Now, the reason he can't see Him now, and the reason he can't see Him now, is because he's wicked. But yet, he said, I will see Him. And he said, there shall come a star out of Jacob. And these wise men said, we've seen His star, and we've come to worship Him. Amen. And it said, also Balaam said, there come a star out of Jacob, and a sepulcher shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Seth. Boy, there's just so much about Jesus. There's more than meets the eye. I mentioned last Sunday that the closer you look at Him, the more perfect He is, the more precious He is, and no matter how much scrutiny you put Him under, there's no fault to find in Jesus. Amen. He's born in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, He's done been born. These wise men make their journey, Carolyn. And I'm going to guess it took them somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 years to make this journey. Because I'll know here in a minute, I'll be able to share with you in a minute, that Jesus is 2 years old by the time that they get to Him. But when He's born, Molly, they see this star. They see this star of Jacob, and they come seeking Him. And the reason they're coming to seek Him is because they want to worship Him. I wish people was like those wise men. I wish they'd make the journey no matter how far. And I wish they'd make the journey, Brother Melvin, for the right reason. Because they want to find Him and they want to worship Him. Can you imagine this morning if people flocked in here this morning that was looking for Jesus, that wanted to find Him so they could worship Him? I mean, Chaddy, she ran up here on this altar and she showed us how easy it is to find Him and how easy it is to worship Him by way of prayer. She said, Lord Jesus, I need some help this morning. That's how easy it is. These men made their journey, and it wasn't no short journey. As a matter of fact, we'll find out here in a minute, it took them 2 years to get to where He was. But as they come, they said in verse 2, where is He? Boy, I wish people coming here this morning saying, where is He? Where is Jesus? I'll tell you, I'd be glad to show them where He is. Amen. Where is He that's born King of the Jews? Boy, they bragged on Him, Brother Melvin. They called Him what He was. King of kings, glory to God. And not just King, but King of the Jews. Amen. They said, for we've seen His star in the east and have come to worship Him. Now, buddy, I can just imagine this moment. Here the world is at ease and this calamity comes. And all of a sudden now, buddy, who is this Jesus? What are these guys talking about? Verse 3 said, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. And all of Jerusalem with him. Verse 4, when he gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. That's the way the world does. They make demands of God. They say, if thou be the Christ, come down. They say, if you be really who you say you are, command these stones to be made bread. There wasn't nothing he couldn't do, Brother Gilbert. They make demands, but the demands they're making are the wrong demands. He ought to make a different kind of demand. He ought to come and say, would you have mercy on one such as me? Would you receive me and forgive me and save me? Oh, you won't make no demands like Herod made and get anywhere with God, but I want you to know Herod made his demands. And he said, where is he? And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it's written by the prophet. That's a quotation out of Micah chapter 5 verse 2. But thou Bethlehem, Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judea, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from everlasting. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 and 7 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and establish with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This is being made manifest now. Jesus has been born. Wise men have seen His star. They've come in to see Him. It's took them a long time. They said, where is He? We want to worship Him. Oh, all Jerusalem and Herod's all tore all to pieces. Who is this Jesus that come down here there meddling our affairs? Who is He? Herod makes his demand. He makes his inquiry. The Bible says he sent Isaiah, thou Bethlehem, the land of Judea, the least among the princes, for out of thee shall come a governor to rule my people Israel. When he privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, wonder why he didn't go looking. Boy, it's something when you get somebody else to go look for Jesus. And say, when you found him, bring me word. I'll tell you what, Buddy Herod should have been like them. He should have said, I'll go with you. I need to get to him myself. I need to find him myself. And we got a lot of people like Herod that'll send somebody else try to find God for them. Listen, I can't save you. I can't pray for you. But I'll tell you one thing. We can go together. We can come to Jesus. And I'll tell you what, he's not hard to find. If you'll come the way he said to come. He said, when you found him, bring me word. I'll tell you right now, I wish they wanted the Word. I wish people come in here hungering and thirsting after God. I wish they come in here like they said there. Jeremiah said, is there any Word from the Lord? The king, Jeconiah, said, Jeremiah, is there any Word from the Lord? He said, there is, boy. It ain't good, but I've got a Word from the Lord. They don't want the Word of God today, Brother Gilbert. They want to tear it up like one king there in Jeremiah, he took the Word of God, cut it up with a penknife, and threw it in the fire. They went away with Jesus. They went away with the Word. But I got news for them. Heaven and earth is going to pass away. That Word's not going nowhere. God settled it in the heavens, commanded it 1,000 generations. He went on further to say that He said He declared the end from the beginning. Isaiah chapter 46, send my counsel, stand, I'll do all my pleasure. He said, so shall my Word be that goeth forth my mouth. It'll not return to me void, but it'll prosper in the thing it's sent to do. Sometimes that Word's a plowing. Sometimes that Word's a planting. Sometimes that Word just gets watered. But I'll tell you what, with enough of that Word, God can give the increase. Amen. Herod said, bring me Word. Well, people, Carolyn, they want it brought to them. It's amazing. God makes house calls. I'll tell you right now, the midnight hour, people call me up, Brother Eddie, can you please come? I need prayer. I'll tell you right now, I do my best. I'm a miserable comforter in times like that, but I'll do my best. I'll come and do the best I can, but I'm not no substitute for Him. Herod said, when you found Him, bring me word again that I may come and worship Him also. When they heard the king, verse 9, they departed and lo, the star. Brother Melvin, God didn't leave them without light. Amen? I mean, brother, they saw that star and they came. Now they can't find that star. And the reason they can't find that star is because there's so many stars in Hollywood. There's so many stars there in Jerusalem. I mean, here's King Herod. He thinks he's a star. But when they left him, they saw that star, which they saw in the east. But verse 9 says, and it went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. This week, we had a tragedy. Two young boys set a bomb off there at the marathon in Boston, Massachusetts. And the cruelty of what they did. They set them bombs off in pressure cookers and they pointed them, Carolyn, where they would hit people from the waist down. Just take their legs out. And that little 8-year-old boy wasn't tall enough to escape the blast, and it killed him. But the rest of them, I'll tell you what, they're severely maimed. They're going to lose limbs and all kind of suffering. But them boys took off running. Oh, I'll tell you what, how the devil used them boys. He used them, then when he's done with them, one of them not only got shot, his younger brother run over him with the car that they hijacked. But that one boy went in here. There's no hiding place. And they found that young boy. They found him by way of infrared. They flew over the sky's boat in the backyard. He said he thought he'd seen somebody in it. And they flew over that thing, Keith. And sure enough, by infrared, there that boy was laying right there in that boat. Couldn't be hid. Now this young boy, the devil boy, he's had a heyday. He's got one dead. He's got one as good as dead. Life messed up for the rest of his life. No telling what all that boy's going to go through. And these other people, their lives are messed up. And the devil loved every minute of it. Oh, me. But I'll tell you what, buddy. Here they're looking. They can't find him. And all of a sudden, a star. They're the same one that led them to come and seek him. It come up and it went before them and came and stood over where Jesus was. The Bible said in verse 10, when they saw that star, Brother Melvin, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Their quest now has been made a whole lot easier. God sent forth a star, a beaming. We sing a star, oh beautiful star of Bethlehem. On Christmas we sing a lot on caroling and stuff. I'm telling you here, this beautiful star of Bethlehem, it came and stood over where the young child was. He's not a little boy now. He's 2 years old. And they find the star. It comes and it stands over where he is. And verse number 11 kind of puts kind of a curveball on all the nativity scenes that you see. Here's wise men coming seeking Jesus. He's not in a manger. He's not a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. It said that when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. He's not a little baby no more. It don't say three wise men. You find it, you correct, Brother Eddie. It just said wise men came. I know in our mind's eye, for some reason or another, we see three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We think, well, there was three. Might have been 300. But you know what it said, Brother Gilbert? It said, when they opened them treasures, they presented unto him gifts. Boy, I thank God I opened up my treasure. And I said, Lord, I ain't got much, but I give it. Amen. I tell you what, boy, I got silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, I give to Him. If they opened up their treasure, they didn't just come seeking Him. They come to worship Him. They brought their treasures with them. And when they opened up their treasures, they presented unto Him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Amen. Boy, that's the way to worship God. Just give Him the treasure. Bible said God put His treasure in earthen vessels. I'll tell you what, I don't know what you got this morning, but what you got, if you give it to God, that'll be your treasure this morning. You say, I ain't got nothing. Somebody said, I ain't got nothing but a drum. I'll play my drum for you. Ba rumpa bum bum. That little drummer boy played that song. I'll tell you, one little boy put an offering, played, I owe you God. And he said, I owe you everything. And I just want to give you what you deserve, what you deserve and what I owe. I want to give it all to you. He said, I owe you. I owe you all. Amen. How indebted we are to God. But here they come. They worship Him. And God here warns them in a dream. And He tells them that they shouldn't return to Herod. And they departed to their own country another way. You know what? When I met Jesus, Carolyn, I left another way. I come in mighty crooked as a dog's leg, but I left as straight as a gun barrel, as straight as the shaft of an arrow. I tell you what, I went all over Glasgow. They didn't want to hear it, but I had to tell it, Keith. I said, I just want you to know I got saved. They said, what's that mean? I said, that means I got to Jesus. And I was as lost could be. But now I'm as saved could be. My mama said, when you get home, look up the word fanatic. That's what you are. I tell you what, you get Jesus, it's like the measles is short somewhere. If you get with Him, He gets with you. I promise you this, you'll leave another way. I don't know how you came to church this morning, but I promise you this, you get with Jesus, you'll leave another way. And boy, I tell you what, they left another way. They went on their way rejoicing. They found Him, Brother Melvin. That star declared in the scrolls where He was. They brought their treasures to Him. They presented them to Him. And they left and went home another way. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. And here the Lord tells Joseph in a dream, "Send, arise, take that young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be thou there till I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." You remember me reading that scripture a while ago in Isaiah? It said, "For the child shall know to refuse evil." He said, "Or good, the land shall be forsaken of both her kings. One of them fixed to be forsaken." And he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I've called my son." That's a twofold prophecy. God called His son out of Egypt when He sent Moses down there and He brought Jacob out. But also it's another prophecy when He brought Jesus, His son, also out of Egypt. Then the Bible said, verse 16, "And then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof." Here's the age of Jesus. "From 2 years old and under, according to the time at which he had diligently inquired of the wise men." They slaughtered babies. Now listen, it's sad that three people died at the Boston Marathon and others maimed and hurt in hospitals suffering. It's sad that 15 plus people died at the fertilizer explosion in Waco, Texas. And they said at first mentioned that they saw some man drop a bomb. I don't know. It's sad about all that. But I want you to know this slaughter that Herod did of the children from 2 years old and under. We have in America 3,500 babies aborted every day in America. Every day. Nothing said about that. That's how many are slaughtered every day in America. 3,500. The Bible said children are an inheritance from the Lord. I've met women that give anything to have a baby. Brother Eddie, pray for me. My cousin's wife, I remember her going to the altar. I remember her asking to be anointed with oil. I remember people going up laying hands on her that God would bless Susan with children. Man, it went about 2 years. We'd about give up. God didn't. Next thing we knew, Susan said, "Y'all ain't going to believe this. I'm expecting." And she gave birth to a little baby girl named April. Next thing you know, Susan, she said, "I'm expecting," and gave birth to a little boy named Andrew. And now Andrew and April, to a woman that couldn't have children. The doctor said, "I've done all I know to do. There ain't nothing I can do." But I'll tell you what she did. She went a little further and she brought that petition to God. And she said, "Lord, if You would, I'd like to have some children." When you have children, just remember, there's only one safe place. It's not Herod. It's Jesus. And I'll tell you what, boy Herod, he's mad. And he said, "Kill all the children." And there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning. Here's mothers weeping for their children. And they won't be comforted because they're not. And they slaughtered all the children from 2 years old and under that were there in Jerusalem. I'll tell you what, buddy. Those days are still around. They want to kill your children. There's a lot of Herods around today. But here we've got the story of Jesus up to 2 years old. Now we've got to turn to Luke to get the story of Jesus from 2 years up to 12. The Bible talks about the silent years after they returned to Nazareth. The slaughter's already happened. They've already fled the wrath of Herod. They've come back. They've settled in Nazareth. And verse 40 says, the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit and filled with wisdom and grace of God. And the grace of God was upon him. The Bible talks about Jesus in Acts. Said he went about doing good. You know what young people need to do? They need to go about doing good. They need to do good. I know people tell you, you goody two-shoes. Listen, that ain't nothing wrong with that. They're just jealous because your works, you know, it's kind of like Cain was jealous of Abel because Abel's works were righteous and his wasn't. And he got mad and ended up killing his brother Abel. Ain't nothing wrong at all with doing good. Jesus, he went about doing good. And he grew up and he waxed strong in the spirit, Ryan. And he started growing with wisdom and grace of God was upon him. Verse 41, Brother Melvin says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year. After, let's see, every year at the feast of the Passover. He's 12 years old, Margaret. Every year for 12 years he'd been brought to worship in Jerusalem. He's come up to give their sacrifice to God. He's come up to the feast of the Passover. By the way, he is the Passover lamb. And here he is now. He's 12 years. He's been brought up in the love and admonition of the Lord. He's growing in wisdom and spirit. And I'll tell you what, buddy, the grace of God's upon him. He's got a godly mother and a godly father. And they see this young boy. He needs to be brought up right. And they're taking him to Jerusalem every year. Amen. They went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they fulfilled those days, they returned. And the child, notice he's not a babe no more. He's 12 years old. The child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they returned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. He's interested in the things of God. He's just about to that point. I know we probably got some children here this morning, 12 years old. You're not a babe no more and you're not an adult. You're in that limbo adolescence. And I'll tell you what, them's the years when it's kind of awkward. You can't play the part of a baby no more. You can't fill the shoes of an adult. And you're just, for lack of better words, in that transition between childhood and adult. Jesus took that transition there. But he's in there hearing the Word of God. He's in there asking questions. Do you see that? He's asking them questions. He's hearing them. He's in the midst of the temple. He's in the midst of the doctors of the law. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and anxious. He's not no novice. Not only is he the Word incarnate, not only is he the Word manifest in the world, but all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and anxious. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? This word means know you not, wished you not, that I must be about my Father's business. He started working the work God sent him to do. He started early. The Bible says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days draw nigh, and thou sayest, I have no pleasure in them, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. At the age of 12 years old, he starts working in his Father's business. His Father's business is a soul-winning business. And he's out there, buddy, and he's asking questions, he's answering questions, he's showing them wisdom and amazement, and they say, who taught this boy? How is it he knows so much? Wouldn't that be great? Now Ryan, he knows quite a bit of Bible. Ain't nothing wrong with that at all, buddy. I wish we had a world full of young men who knew quite a bit of Bible. The Bible says to exercise yourself unto godliness. It says to be ready to give a man an answer to ask you a question of the reason of hope is within you. Most people run from questions, Carolyn. I wish somebody would come ask me something. I'd like to let them know what the Bible says. Listen, I won't answer nothing but the Bible. Them scriptures signed out there on my car. My daughter been driving my car this week. I don't know how many times this week she told me. What in the world does this mean, Dad? Somebody out there won't know what this means. I said it means what the Bible says about that. And I'll tell you what, I thank God for the Word of God. I'm glad the Word of God. It's without controversy. It's without problem, without error, without omission or addition. It's what thus said the Word of God. Amen. Jesus said we ought to live by it. We ought to learn by it. We ought to love it. We ought to esteem it more highly than our daily meat. And we won't do that, Sky. But we need to. We need to make a place in our life, in the day, for the Word of God. I bet you got up this morning and read about 5 chapters in the Bible, didn't you? No, you got that bacon, didn't you? I seen you. Well, that's what we ought to do. The Bible says, seek the Lord early. Those that seek Him early find Him. He said, you'll find me when you seek me with your heart. But I'll tell you what, boy. Job said he esteemed God's Word more highly than his necessary meat. You know what Job said, Sky? He said, I'm done without breakfast just to have the Word of God. Amen. Now, we ain't like that. But if it was like that, we'd be like Jesus. We'd be ready to go in and answer questions. We'd be able to go in there, boy, and tell doctors of the law, tell preachers. You know, preachers, I have to admit, I've been stumped a little bit by children. I used to teach a primary Sunday school class. That's children 10 ages, usually around 10, 8, 10, something like that. And I remember being in a Sunday school class and a young boy named Brent Spillman. He's pastoring a church out there on Highway 90 right now called Little Bethel Baptist Church. But my mind goes back to 25 years ago, little old Brent Spillman in there, and here I am. I'm scared somebody's going to ask me a question because I don't know enough Bible to blow my nose. And little Brent Spillman raised his hand up. Brother Eddie, I got a question. There's a cheer went up my back, curling. And I thought, oh God, help it not to be a hard one, let it be an easy one. You know what he asked me, Brother Melvin? He said, Brother Eddie, he said, how do we know we're going to like it when we get to heaven? And man, I tell you what, the light came on, Gail. I didn't know what to say. You know, Jesus said, take no thought what you'll say, it'll be given to you. Preachers want to know, Brother Eddie, where'd you get that outline? Everything I got, God gives me. I'm just kind of like, you know, waiting on the drops of rain from heaven. God give me a mercy drop every now and then. Man, oh man, He always gives me more than I need. But the light came on, He asked me a question. Caroline, you know what I told Brent? I said, Brent, you like it down here? He said, I love it down here, Brother Eddie. I said, well, God formed this earth. The Bible said He formed it, been happy, and He put us on it. But He said He went away to prepare a place for us. And Paul said to be a Christ is far better. And I said, Brent, if you like it down here, you're going to like it even better up there. Man, oh man, it's amazing how children can ask a question like that. He said, how do we know we're going to like it in heaven? Here he is, buddy. He didn't stop there, but he kept growing, Brother Melvin. Next thing I know, I seen Brent announce his call to preach. I saw him first time stand up, boy. And I have to admit, it wasn't much, but he stood when it wasn't easy. Now I see him stand, and buddy, I mean, you can see he got a backbone like a saw log. Man, some of the men I work with are in his church now. We was talking last night over at prayer meeting about Jim Clark and James Perkins, which we called him Friday, both of them going to church over there, Brent, and one of the foremen out there at work, also going over there. Man, I tell you what, I thank God for a young man that let the Lord have him and use him. Glory to God. Got a beautiful wife, 2 beautiful sons. Hallelujah. Amen. Here Jesus says, he's in his youth, he's 12 years old, his mom and dad can't understand it, but he tells them, he said, how is it that you taught me? Don't you know I got to be about my Father's business? I got to get busy while I'm young. I'm not going to wait till I'm 80 years old. They understood not the saying which He spake unto them. And He went down with them. This is important. He came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But His mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. I looked at Ryan this morning. He's still increasing in that stature and in favor with God and man. Now listen, did you notice there it said He was subject to them? Boy, it tells me a lot about Jesus. Jesus didn't say, no, I'm not going. He didn't cry and throw a fit. He was subject to them, Melissa. He was an obedient son. He done what they bid him to do, even though he had things he needed to do that they didn't understand. He had a high calling. He had a work that he had to finish. He got started early in it. They didn't know it, Carolyn. Here he is. He's subject to them. Boy, I tell you what, one of the commandments back there, honor thy father and thy mother. That's what he's doing. He's subject to them. Charlotte, he's obeying his parents. He come down here to show what could be done. He's got work to do, but he don't let the obedience of his parents get in the way of the work. He's still going to do the work. But right now, buddy, he's doing what the Bible says. He's subject to his mom. He's subject to his stepdad, Joseph. And he goes with them down there. And he starts a growing. And he's a growing in stature.
Yes.
Ryan probably don't want me to mention this morning, but he popped a button off of his pants this morning. Charity's over there dying laughing, but he's growing. He ain't a little boy no more. He's growing up to be a fine, handsome young man. Amen. I was going to give him my belt, brother. Brother Anthony come up with a belt. I was going to take mine off and give it to him. I was convinced these suspenders could hold mine up. But I'll tell you what, that's what Jesus did. He started growing. And he grew up from 2 to 12. And the next time we'll hear about Jesus, he'll be 30 years old. But I'll tell you what now, he's not a babe no more. He's not a young man no more, subject to his parents. But he starts filling the shoes of the Son of God. And he comes down here, boy, and the world don't know what to do with him. I tell you what, brother, they can't understand, they can't deny, they can't figure no way around him. He's just in the way. Like he is today, Chelsea. He's just in the way. It's not convenient to live for God, but it's so needed. Pilate's wife came to him. She said, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man. I've suffered many things today in a dream because of him." That's mission impossible. You can't go through life and have nothing to do with Jesus, because in him you live and move and have you being. I'm telling you, you're made after his image, and he made you for this purpose, that he could be worshipped by you and enjoy you. Bible said all things were created by him and for him, and for his pleasure they are and were created. You're his workmanship. From the palm of your hand, you've got the endorsement of your Creator looking you right in the face. Job 37:7 says, "He sealeth up the hand of every man, that all men everywhere may know his work." Ain't no mistaking. You were made by him. You were made for him and for his pleasure. I'm going to insert this in here. I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to anyway. We've come down today, man, they're really pushing us hard about trying to accept same-sex unions and trying to condone same-sex marriages. You know what that is, a nutshell? I'm not going to be kind. It's just pure rebellion. That's all it is. Just pure rebellion. It's where the creature rebels against the Creator. It's where the creature says it's your fault. It's where the creature says you're the reason I'm like I am. And the Bible says, "Woe be to the clay that striveth with the potter." Oh me, just pure rebellion. Rather than let God be God, rather than go God's way, instead of submitting, instead of surrendering, we rebel. You say, "I'm born this way. I can't help it." Yeah, you can. You're just full of rebellion. You're contrary to the one that made you. You're contrary to the Word of God. I don't care how many laws they rewrite. I don't care how many exceptions, how many accommodations they make. It's still sin, still wrong. Piers Morgan said, and he got one of the Christians on TV there. Somebody help me here. He's the one who started that movie, Fireproof. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. There, a young man there. Kurt Cameron, thank you. Piers Morgan got Kurt Cameron on TV while they had him on the spot, took advantage of him. He said, Is homosexuality a sin? I'd like to have been there, Brother Melvin. I'd give anything to have been right there in Kirk Cameron's place. I'd like to put my finger right there in front of that TV camera and seen how fast they could have went to commercial break. I said, yes, not only it's a sin, it's a sin of rebellion. And the Bible said the sin of rebellion is witchcraft.
Yeah.
I'd like to have that moment. Now, Kirk Cameron, I'll say this, he's a gracious man. But he, as far as I know, he's not a preacher. But the Bible told me to preach against sin.
That's right.
He told me, buddy, if I didn't preach against sin, I'd get in trouble.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, buddy. I'd like to have that moment. I'd like to tell the world that it ain't nothing but just pure rebellion straight out of hell. And it's not of God. And I don't care how many laws, how many doctors, how many philosophers, and all that bunch of sopopath, and all that bunch of left-wing liberal bunch of jock. I don't care what they say. The Word of God says otherwise. It says God made man upright, but they sold out many inventions. Amen.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, God made you right. If you got a problem, you need to go talk to God. Like, I guess it was Rebecca that went and talked to God and said, why am I thus? Let's see here. Which one was it here? Which one was the father of Esau and Jacob? Let's see. That was Isaac. Did Isaac marry Rebecca?
Yes.
Okay. Rebecca went and talked to God and said, why am I thus? And God said, you got two nations in your womb. And the elder served the younger. That's why she dressed up her younger son, Jacob, to be like her older son, Ishmael, and told him to go in there and give his father the venison and tell him to bless him because she was trying to obey God. That's why she done it. Because she inquired of God why she was, and God told her why she was like that. And then he went ahead and told her, Carolyn, the elder's going to serve that younger. She got that blessing upon that younger son, Jacob. God does things a little bit different. But I'll tell you what, He got it done. Listen this morning, there's no fault in Jesus. If you got a problem with Him, you got a problem. If you'll look at Him like He really is, you'll see Him as the friend that sticks close than a brother. You'll see Him as a friend that loveth at all times. You'll see Him as a friend that comes when everybody else is gone. The Bible said of a truth, Christ Jesus came this world to save sinners. If you're here this morning and you're wondering about this Jesus, there's just so much to know about Him, so little time I've been given here to speak. But I'll tell you this, there's a lot to know about Him. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He said, if you be my disciples, continue my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. There's just so much to know about Him and so little time to convey it. If you need to get with Jesus this morning, you come. Father, we thank You for the privilege to speak about Your Son. Lord, I don't know how this message went, but I do pray, Father, this morning that it was, Lord, a blessing to the saved. I pray, Father, Lord, it was a help to the lost. And Lord, those who are in the far country, I pray, Lord, they would look at You different than they've ever looked at You before. And I pray they'd make their way to You and make things, Lord, right between them and You. Young or old, Father, this morning, I pray in this invitation, as You've done already in this service, may You manifest Yourself and may every soul be subject to You. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I'd like to ask everybody to stand. I don't know how the Word went to you. I know how it went to me. But I don't know how it went to you. This morning, if you've got a need this morning, something you need to do, something God has pointed out to you that you need to bring to the altar, that's what it's for. It's just a piece of wood, but it's just a place that you can meet God. He said, if you'd be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. If you're not ashamed of Him, just come on up here this morning. Say, Lord, we need to talk. I've been aiming to come for a long time. I've been needing to come for a long time. Make today that day. Don't prolong it. Listen, there's just too much at stake right now. There's just too much going on right now. What you've seen this week is just a ripple. There's a tsunami coming. And I'm telling you right now, when it said men's hearts are going to fail for fear, you're going to fall down in the floor and grab your chest and say, I should have came. I should not have dragged my feet. You ought to come this morning. Go ahead, Brother Melvin.
164.
Come on. God bless you, William.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing
birth? God bless you.
Are you more
precious than the blood
of the Lamb?
Lord, we thank You for our precious brother. Oh, we thank You for Brother William. Lord, what a blessing. What an encouragement, Lord, He is. To any preacher, Lord, that's labored in the Word to see a man that loves God enough to show how simple and how easy it is to
come up and bow the heart and talk to God. Bless Brother William, Lord, if he has a need, I pray you'll grant it. And Lord, if not, I just pray you'll bless him real good just for me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you, brother. You're to come this morning. You're to come. Lord, for such a time as this, you're to make your way up. Get somebody by the hand and say, go with me. I need to get to Jesus. I've heard this morning something I didn't realize. And I need to get to Jesus this morning. Won't you come? Oh, it's a good time right now. Welcome, Matt's on the door of heaven. Not only is the door open, two nail-scarred hands are reaching out saying, come to me. I'll fix it. I'll heal you. I'll help you. I'll forgive you. I'll save you. That same Jesus said, you will not come to me, John 5:40, as you may have life. He said, therefore, your house will be left unto you desolate. Don't leave up with a desolate house. Come in here and get your house clean. Get it ready for the coming Lord. Amen. We got revival coming up. This has been kind of a revival type service. You're going to come. Right now. Make haste. Step out. Come. Yes, my garments are spotless. They're white as snow thanks to the blood. Boy, it's a good feeling. Hell, your head at night. Man, not worry about nothing. Not worry about dying during the night. Not worrying about the presence that walks by night. Not worrying about the flames or the fire or anything like that. But the Lord, all the things that happen to you would be you'd wake up in heaven somehow. Boy, God bless you, girl. Man, that's a blessing. Hell, your head. Know it's well with your soul. And don't go back to work. You got family in heaven, and you got family down here that's going to heaven, and the circle won't be broken unless you don't get saved. Lay on the side, come. Oh, praise God. Done blowing for the soul unclean, will be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, I'm washed in that blood. Yes, that soul cleansing blood of my Lord. My garments are spotless, they are white as snow. They've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Brother Melvin. God bless you. Well, Brother Melvin, I'll say one thing this morning. He's been right on cue with the songs. Appreciate him and the singing this morning. Maybe somebody's got a word on your heart. I know we've been long in preaching. I certainly don't make no apology for that. You go, doctor, you have surgery. You tell him, take 15 minutes or take as long as he needs. You tell me. Word?
Amen. I love my Jesus.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. God bless you, Brother Gilbert. Hey, amen. Appreciate you coming, brother.
Amen.
Unexpected blessing. We'll take them anytime we can get them.
Yeah.
We'd like to fill this little place up. I believe it filled up. We'll find a bigger place and start filling again. I can't afford to fill my tank up, but I get it pretty close. Hey, amen. Who else got a praise this morning? Bless you, buddy.
Different things, but there's good people anywhere. But boy, you come here, just what I've seen today, family, the prayer. Wow, it's a blessing.
Bless you, Brother Anthony.
Thank God.
Amen. He made a pretty good statement there. He said, we go out in the world, we see a lot of things. And that is true. They drive a truck and they go everywhere. Some of the things we don't see in those small towns, they see. They see the change. I stopped at a Shell station yesterday, put $20 in my car. I went in there and the attendant was in tears. I'm a man's acquainted with grief and sorrow. I said, what's the matter, honey? She said, I just had a young girl come in here. She didn't have enough clothes on to blow your nose. She said, I suspected trouble. She said, I had three young men sitting over at the table. They wouldn't bother nobody. They wasn't looking at her. They wasn't saying nothing. Said she walked by to go to the restroom and turned around and gave him a cuss and went outside and got her boyfriend, tried to get him to come in. She just trying to start the trouble. The trouble was she just needed to get some clothes on. She needed to get right with God. But that attendant was crying. She said, I didn't want no trouble. And I said, honey, you didn't do nothing wrong. But you know what? That's what Anthony's talking about seeing. They go out and people's attire's changed. Out there at work this week, I noticed one of the girls at work, and I didn't read it, but she had looked like a book tattooed on her arm. And she's a lesbian. I'm just going to guess. I probably won't be blessed reading what's on her arm. But she had like 50 words tattooed up down her arm. I'll eventually, no doubt, have to read it. I'm sure she put it on the wall right there in front of me. I just walked away. Wasn't a time for me. There will be a time. I will talk to her. Her name's AJ. I care about her. She needs to do something with this Jesus. She wants trouble, Brother Melvin, put all them words on her arm. It just lied after lied after lied after lied. Gonna burn like a canker. Go ahead and flaunt your sin for a season. And be ashamed of it for eternity. Okay. We're done?
When the Lord tells you to do something, you may question it and say, why am I supposed to do this?
Bless you,
Margaret. Yes. This morning, Chris came in and walked on the cars. They were there now, and they hadn't been gone out no time. And Marvin left. Chris was out there working. And I went in and sat down at the computer, and I'm not the person that done this. When I turned it on, there was Mike's picture. When I turned that computer on, there was his picture.
Yeah.
If you've ever hyperventilated, you don't know what it's like.
Bless your heart.
I started crying, but I couldn't get up out of my chair. I knew I needed a plastic bag or my face. And I knew that if somebody would come or call or something, I'd be okay if I could just hear a voice. I may not sit there and I'd be in bad shape. Somebody knocked on my door.
Amen.
And I thought, okay, I've done it. You know, when they knocked, that made me kind of come to.
Interrupted it, didn't it? Yeah.
So wait a minute, they knocked again. And I thought, okay. I had tears everywhere.
Amen. Amen. We don't understand why things are like they are. But God does understand. Right in time, Chris knocked on that door, and it was a timely thing. Margaret never was in such need as she was right then. Dear God met that need without Chris even knowing it and helped her in that situation. We ain't in heaven yet. I don't know what all we're going to have to endure between here and there. I just know I'm going to go. I'm going to go all the way. I know where I'm going to end. I know where I'm going to be. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed, I'm persuaded they keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know him and I know him.
There's no way I've seen or heard.
That's right.
You go ahead and visit it. Neither has it entered in the heart of man.
No eye, there's no eye seen, no ear heard, never has it entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him and look to his appearing. We'll get to take a tour of heaven. I'll tell you what, praise God, the streets will turn to gold, the walls will turn to jasper, everybody will be happy, the music will be the right kind, and the people have the right clothes on, and they'll be happy. Happy's that people whose God is the Lord. Yea, happy's that people in such a case. It'll be a happy place.
The best day on earth won't be
harder than this. Amen. The Bible said all the tears will be wiped away, and the former things will be forgotten, and the joy of the Lord. Jesus said, enter thou into the joy of the Lord.
It's going to be too good to miss.
I'm going to take me a run. I don't know how far, how long. I just know I'm going to take off a running like that old crazy dog in my backyard that flips and slides and falls on his nose and plows the ground with his nose because he just got out of the prison he's in. And I open that door and let him loose and sit back and watch that crazy dog and say, I'm going to be just like you when I get to heaven. That's so funny. Watch that dog. I'll tell you right now, I'm going to run through heaven. There's just going to be so much to see. There's just going to be so many people to make new acquaintance with.
Yeah.
Margaret, she'll be able to see Mike. I'll be able to see Cindy, Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, bunches of them, aunts, uncles, cousins, nephews. Plenty of room.
Yeah.
You miss heaven, you miss it all.
Oh, my yes.
Are we done?
The devil, he'll pour out a few crumbs of pleasure here and just get people following, you know.
Yeah.
They're selling cheaply, I'll tell you what. I don't know how much time, because God's way to God with Jesus and it'll be eternal.
Amen.
That's what it's going to get.
Amen. When people see what they missed, they see what they traded for that medicine. Man, oh man. It's going to be rough. If we're done, let's all stand, please. Brother Ryan, would you dismiss us for a word of prayer? Amen. Amen.